This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hi, hello, welcome to Money Control's special podcast, MC Special Podcast. My name is Viju Cherian, and I'm Money Control's opinion editor. Today is the 1st of April, the 8th of the 21-day national lockdown announced by Prime Minister Narendra Modi. The topic for today's discussion is, what after April 14th? On a Twitter poll conducted by Money Control, we had asked our listeners what they would like to hear in this time's podcast. And about 60% of you wanted to know, what after April 14th? To discuss the economic and medical aspects of the lockdown and what after April 14th, I have two guests with me. The first guest is Gaurav Chaudhary, Deputy Executive Editor at Money Control. Gaurav needs no introduction to our listeners of MC Podcast and viewers of MC Editor's Day. He is our in-house expert. Welcome, Gaurav.
Hi, Vijay. Thank you so much for having me on this show.
The second guest is Dr. Philip Matthew. He's an Associate Professor of Community Medicine at the Pushpagiri Institute of Medical Sciences and Research Center in Kerala. He's a doctoral researcher at the Karolinska Institute, Sweden, and is a public health consultant with REACT, an international network on antibiotic resistance. Welcome back to MC Special Podcast, Dr. Matthew.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Gaurav, first to you. The government has announced a massive 1.7 lakh crore relief package, and more is expected. We have about 2 weeks for April 14th, when the 21-day lockdown comes to an end. What can we expect on the economic front till then?
Well, you know, this lockdown is like putting a hard stop. It's like putting a hard stop on a mechanical device, so far as the economy is concerned. It's like switching off a bulb. But unlike a bulb, an economy cannot be switched on immediately. So what the government has done, and this lockdown, just to give a bit of a context, the economic slide or the slowdown in the economy that has been brought about by the lockdown is very different from a normal recession or a normal economic slide. Normal economic slides or slowdowns generally happen because there is something systemic that is going on within the economy. Say, for instance, in 2008, we saw the global financial crisis because there was a debt bubble within the financial system. But in this case, this lockdown, this slide, and if we are heading towards a recession, this recession would be brought about because of a public health emergency. This lockdown is intentional and this lockdown is inevitable because priority at this point in time is to save lives. And economy, unlike our lives, is a revivable thing. So it is on a priority scale, the government, and very rightly so, has put human lives far above the economy, because at some point in time, the economy will start reviving. Whether that, we can debate whether that point will come 18 months from now or 6 months from now, but that's a different aspect. At this point in time, and the government has repeatedly reiterated that saving lives is a priority. And how do you frame policies for something where there is no agreeable solution? The only agreeable solution is extreme and persistent social distancing for an indeterminate period of time. And that is what has brought the lockdown about. So people have been forced to remain confined at home because the impact of the spread as a public health emergency has to be addressed immediately. So what has happened? What has it done? So people are at home. Many people are not going to office. Factories are shut. Now, if factories are shut, apart from the essentials, most of the other factories are not producing. When they're not producing, obviously it'll have an impact on their income levels. And when it has an impact on the income levels, at some point in time, they will start cutting costs. You know, one of the easiest ways to cut costs is to obviously ask people to leave, or they'll get into a retrenchment activity, which will be going to be very painful for people who work there. And this is going to spread across the broader economy. Now, it is easy to say theoretically that people can work from home or from remote locations and normal economic activity will go on. Probably in many digital services, the services can be rendered digitally or remotely. But production of many goods requires physical proximity and to be on location. That is where the problem is. That is one part of it, production of goods. But the other part of it is that India has a very strong, very, very strong informal sector. Now, if a lockdown is happening, people aren't allowed to be, people aren't getting out of homes. It is also affecting informal sector more than the formal sector. So it's the small, the micro, small and medium enterprises who are getting affected the most. And it is not just the enterprises. I'll give you an example. One of the first things that was locked down, even before the national lockdown, was many state governments actually clamped down on what is known as weekly huts. Weekly huts are weekly markets where you can buy things from, crockery to clothes to vegetables to fruits for a good haggle. Now, every day within a certain locality, on one particular day of the week, a hut takes place. And it's the same set of vendors who moves from one place to another place on different days of the week. Now, when the weekly hut has been ordered shut, what happens to these vendors? So there is no social safety net for them. So their income collapses. When their income collapses, what would they do? At some point in time, they would have to look up to the government to bail them out. Probably the government will bail them out. That we do not know yet. What about daily wage earners? People who go out and do odd work, look for odd work every day and come back and earn some amount of money, whatever the daily wage of that respective state or locality is, and come back and spend large part of that money on food and then move on with their lives. They have been rendered completely jobless. So this is like putting a hard stop on the economy, and the meltdown is now there for everybody to see.
I would like to bring everyone's attention to an article which Gaurav wrote for the Money Control opinion section, which is pasted below on the link. It's Finance Minister's rupees 1.7 lakh crore package is a safeguard. The stimulus is on the way. So in a way, Gaurav, you were actually saying that this is the first of many steps, and can we expect more?
So what the government has done is government has prioritized in terms of the economic impact and what the government needs to do and the policies that need to be brought about. The government has clearly prioritized that those at the lower end of the income scale and those who are on living on the margins and are also on living on subsistence living, survival, needs to be protected the most. And that is why they need handholding. And that is why the first of the packages that the government brought about, which is worth about 1.7 lakh crore, includes a host of measures, including cash transfers and direct money transfers to people who have Jandhan accounts and cash transfers to many daily wage earners, and also cash transfers to construction site workers. Now, this is not a stimulus package. This is a shield package. So what is the government trying to do? Government is trying to shield people who are getting who have suddenly been rendered jobless for no fault of theirs, because this disease they did not bring about. This has been brought about by somebody. It has spread across the world. And since they have to maintain social distancing and since they have to move away from the sites that they're working in, they have been rendered jobless. So they need handholding. This is what the government is trying to do. So the government is trying to protect, shield jobs, shield who actually earn on a day-to-day basis, and also the women, who are on the lower income scale. And subsequently, we have also seen that something has been done for the farmers as well. So it is the farmers and the urban poor that the government is first trying to protect. But I would assume that in the next couple of days, probably we could expect another package to come, this time for the micro, small and medium enterprises, who represent about 70% of India's total manufacturing and services activity. And please remember, the large software services company could be seen as the trophies, as the showcase, the showpiece organization so far as the world of India services sector, so far as the world is concerned. But it's the small services that actually keeps the Indian economy's wheel oiled and running. And that is these are the companies and these are the firms, these are the small enterprises that actually is the lifeblood of the economy. Just to put things in context, the small and medium enterprises account for about 45% of India's GDP and employs 60% of all people in urban areas, and also in some areas which are in semi-urban and close to the villages. So it is absolutely critical for the government that the revival of these enterprises actually start earlier than the larger corporations who have deeper pockets. So that is why I would assume that in the next couple of days, we should expect some kind of a package for the micro, small and medium enterprises. And just remember one thing, that this package would probably be a mix of some cash transfers to the companies under certain conditions. So I would assume that government would probably tell these companies that And this the class of these companies could be limited to those with a turnover whose turnover is below a certain threshold. So it could be a 50 crore, 100 crore. I would not know that. That is something that the PMO, the Finance Ministry, and the Niti Aayog is currently trying to frame. That people below this threshold turnover will probably be told that government is going to bear the cost of 50% of their wage bill or half the wage bill for a certain amount of time. So certain period, so that period of time could probably be 90 days or 3 months. And certain fixed costs like the rental cost or the machinery cost or interest costs probably could also be taken care of the government through certain financial instruments. And there, we could expect also some kind of tax payment deferrals, deferrals on interest payments and deferrals on other statutory dues, because these are the companies that have to stand up first and start running as soon as the lockdown gets lifted. And lockdown will get lifted.
Gaurav, we will come to that in a while. But let me go to Dr. Matthew. We have seen over the past 2 weeks or so, there's a lot of pressure on the healthcare system across the country. It's being tested. It's being pushed to its limits. You can see healthcare professionals being pushed, you know, to a corner because of the extreme load that is there on them. How do you see, and the number of cases are increasing. So what are your thoughts on this, Dr. Matthew?
We can see it in two different ways. One is, you know, what effect has the lockdown brought on the number of cases? You know, it is too early to say. Frankly, it's too early to say. The mean incubation period for the virus is approximately 7 days, and we have just passed 7 days of the lockdown. So it is quite early to say whether the lockdown has brought any significant impact on the number of cases. But then I'm quite sure that, you know, the number of new cases will actually start falling in the next few days. So definitely, lockdown is going to be a significant thing. It was a significant intervention in reducing the number of cases. So that is one thing. But then the second part of it, the more important part of it, is how do you deal with what is going to happen after the lockdown is lifted? You know, when people start freely interacting and the physical distancing, I would rather call it physical distancing than social distancing, when it comes down, there is a high chance that there is a resurgence of infections. So what do you do? Do you go in for a repeat lockdown or do you do something else? So that is a question that everybody is worried about, and there is no definite answer to it. But the bottom line of this is, this lockdown has given us 21 days. You know, we have bought 21 days with this lockdown. So we should be using this time to actually build up resources, you know, ramp up the treatment facilities, increase the testing and find out which are the pockets, hotspots for community transmission, and probably stock up personal protection equipment for healthcare workers and all that. But then we have to be sure that we have to understand that this is we are in for a long fight. You know, this is not going to go away in the next couple of months. You know, it is going to be with us for probably 6 months to 1 year. You know, till the time a vaccine is developed and we achieve more than 60% of coverage, it is going to be here. So we have to be careful about what we are going to do after 14th of April also.
Dr. Matthew, I'll just come to that. But just one thing, just to summarize what you had said, in a way, you're telling that the 21-day lockdown is a way in which we are buying time. This is not exactly addressing the virus or the infection, but in a way, we are buying time to equip ourselves. Is that how it is?
Yes. You know, we cannot see a lockdown as a solution in itself. But okay. it can be seen as a way of buying time to kind of prepare ourselves for what is going to come. We have to kind of make sure that we keep the number of infections as low as possible till the time a vaccine or an effective treatment is out there in the market. So till that time, whatever we have to do, we cannot anticipate, we cannot say that, you know, a flare-up won't happen. So if a flare-up happens and a large number of infections come up, we have to be prepared for that. So in effect, you know, this 21-day lockdown gives us an opportunity to do precisely that. You know, we have to kind of prepare ourselves for that.
Okay. I would like to remind our listeners that we at Network 18 are strictly adhering to social distancing norms and following the lockdown. And because of that, the three of us are sitting in three different locations and are connecting through phone. There might be an audio quality issue over here, but I'm sure you will bear with us. I would really urge all our listeners to also follow the lockdown norms. Let me come to Gaurav. Gaurav, we talked about till 14th, April 14th, what it is. But what do you think would be the measures after April 14th? Can we continue with a complete lockdown? And especially, can we do it from an economic point of view? Yeah. Before that, I would also just want to bring to our listeners' attention one thing, that there's a lot of speculation that the lockdown is going to continue beyond the 14th. As of now, there isn't any plan like that. In fact, the cabinet secretary, Rajiv Gauba, a few days back said, and I'm quoting him, "I'm surprised to see such reports. There is no such plan of extending the lockdown." This he had said 2 days back. Gaurav, your thoughts?
So we'll have to wait until closer to the 14th to know whether the lockdown is going to get extended or not. But what looks almost certain is that the lifting of the lockdown probably will be a graded action rather than a complete lift up. And so you'd not expect, I would not expect a pre-March 24 kind of a situation immediately on April 15. So by this time, we would know which are the hot spots, or the so-called hot spots. And you know, there has been a super spreader kind of an event that we are all aware of that has happened. So we by the 14th of April, we would get to know which are the hot spots that probably need, that probably require more attention. And there are certain areas that probably have shown a better record in terms of spread of this disease. So I would expect, even if, say, for instance, UP, the lockdown gets lifted, some of the districts may still, the lockdown may remain for a longer period of time. Likewise, in many other states where the hotspots actually would have been identified by then. And then it'll be, so far as the economy is concerned, well, it's, as I said, it's like putting on, it's not like switching on a bulb again, because the economy will not be up and running again. You know, a couple of things will I will happen, and which I foresee is going to happen. So if, I'll give an example of the essential goods. Now, essential goods are currently exempt from the lockdown. So people are companies are producing essential goods, grocery items, for instance. But at this point in time, because regardless of the fact that whether they have been exempted or not, there is a supply chain disruption that would have taken place because of the lockdown, and that we are all aware of. The trucks have found, you know, difficulty moving across states and also within states, and similar sort of other disruptions have taken place. Now, currently, whatever essential goods are being produced, or whatever essential goods are being supplied, companies are also using a lot of their unsold inventories that they would have carried on. And if the lockdown gets extended, or if, you know, if it persists in certain a large number of areas for a longer period of time, then companies would have run out of these inventories, and there could be some kind of a supply shortage that could take place. Now, if that supply shortage takes place, that will have a bearing on the price, so the prices could start rising. And if prices start rising, say, in a month from now, for all of us, and particularly for the poorer class, this will come as unfair and unacceptable, and very rightly so, because this supply shortage is, as I said in the beginning, is intentional and unavoidable because of a public health emergency. So government will have to get in some kind of a policy in place to ensure that prices do not shoot through the roof because there is a supply shortage which has been brought about by the lockdown. And also, once the traders come back to work, markets start opening, I would not expect people to throng the markets and the shopping malls as they used to do before COVID-19 actually arrived on India, because there will now be a sense of anxiety. There will now be a sense of fear. So people will probably avoid crowds, and the footfalls in shopping malls and shops and markets will dramatically fall down. That will have a bearing on people's on the traders' income, on shopkeepers' income, and also eventually on companies' incomes, and that will cascade through the broader economy. So these are the kind of impacts that we will probably have to brace for. So I would not think that we can still talk about a post-corona world, because I would believe, and the doctor would probably like to add more to it, I don't think mankind probably will have to get adjusted to living with corona rather than living imagining a post-corona world. Just like we know how to live, we have learned to live with a world with AIDS, in a world with cancer, in a world with H1N1, in a world with SARS, etc. Corona is here to stay, and we'll find our own way to deal with it through medicines and vaccines. But we cannot imagine a post-corona world. The world is now going to learn to live with corona.
Before I go to the doctor on that, I would also just like to bring to your notice that you can find Money Controls podcast on all major platforms such as Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. You can also go to our website, www.moneycontrol.com, where we have an entire section dedicated to podcast. Dr. Matthew, you could just take from where Gaurav had actually left, that is, post 14th, April 14th and thereafter. Are we going to adjust with Corona, COVID-19 and go ahead? Or how do you see it?
I think Gaurav has put it excellently. We are probably going to see some kind of a staggered release of lockdown. And we have to live with it. Till the time there is a certain level of herd immunity, or till the time a viable, effective vaccine is available and the vaccine coverage is sufficient enough to prevent outbreaks, we have to live with this virus. And we have to find ways to live with this. And probably physical distancing is going to be the norm for at least a couple of years to come. So we cannot imagine going back immediately to the pre-corona, the time we had in Jan and Feb, but at least for the next 2 years, probably. To be very realistic, because most of the vaccine development is in the way, or is on the way, and probably realistically it will take around 18 months for the clinical trials to end and a viable vaccine option to come out, and for rollout another 6 months. So probably we are looking at least 2 years.
So there is no instant solution for this. It's going to take time. Till then, we have to adjust to much of what we are seeing now and what is, in store for us. It's nice to know that, nice to discuss that what we, is lying ahead for us. And, in a way also prepare, mentally prepare for what is to come on that. Thank you, Gaurav. Thank you, Dr. Matthew, for your time.
Thank you, Vijay.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. With that, it's a wrap on today's Money Controls MC special podcast. For all your news on coronavirus, COVID-19 and other updates, log on to moneycontrol.com. Stay indoors, stay safe.